globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Recorded are these words. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. For just a little while, I want to focus in on the B section of verse 8, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And simply translated, it says, do not forsake mother's teaching. Do not forsake mother's teaching. This is a word of wisdom in the opening chapter of the book of Proverbs, the book known for its content of wisdom writings. And it's important because it deals with how we are to understand the principal thing, which is wisdom, and yet to get understanding out of the wisdom that we receive. I think as we look at the text today and then look back over our lives, regardless of what age or stage you're in, if you're able to comprehend what I'm saying and you've had a mother who would teach and share things with you, it would be easy for you to understand what the text is saying. It starts off by saying, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Now, one of the things that you're going to understand is that God has a divine structure for how the authoritative structure in a family role should be. He starts off by saying, hear the instruction of thy father. And it says, forsake not the what? The word says, the what? The law of thy mother. Now, here to get an understanding of this, and it's important for you to understand that in the Eastern culture and country, the father was the one who laid the instructions down, or laid the law down, as we say it. And yet it was the mother who took the law that was laid down and interpreted it and gave it in such a way that the children would be able to grasp its understanding and implement it into their lives. It was the father who was the instruction giver. He was the one who said, this is what's going to be, this is the direction that we're going to go. He was the one who gave the instructions, the guidance. He was the one who had the vision for the family. But it was the mother who helped to interpret the vision for the family and to make plain the law that was laid down as it related to the family structure, the husband, the father being head, and the vision that he had. Because how many of you know that's one of the reasons why families go astray today is because they don't understand that God doesn't veer from his original plan. Man has veered. God has always given the vision for the family to the father, to the man, to the head of the house. He's given the, that's why it's so important, women, that when you get married, it ought to be to the man God wants you to have. Because when you attach yourself to that man, you are supposed to surrender and submit to that man, because God has made him the head of the household. Christ is the head of him. God is the head of Christ. God has a structure and a standard by which we ought to operate in. And God has never placed a woman over a man. Amen. Hear me well. That's why we have mixed messages and send mixed signals to our children when we don't allow, because again, in the household, children, boys and girls, are taught to reverence and respect authority in the house. Now, let me just throw this out parenthetically. If parents have issues, and the issues that they have are grown-up issues, then they ought not be discussed in the presence of children. And if there is some straightening out that the husband has to do of the wife, or the wife has to bring up issues to the husband, they ought to do that behind closed doors and in a place where they too can share openly and honestly without affecting the child. Because when the child sees the arguing going on and the disrespect one for another, the confusion as to who is right and who is wrong, who's the head and who's not, and all of these issues become a relevant part of this child's experience. And so as a result of that, if the father abuses the mother, the child sees this kind of thing. And one of the things that, again, is permeated and is presented as a way of lifestyle is that these things that are out of order and are dysfunctional become a accepted practice of functionality in the household. In other words, if a woman gets beat up in her household, her daughter thinks that that's the way it ought to be. So when some fella crack upside the head, she gonna figure he loved me. Because my daddy beat my mama. I mean, it sounds funny, but it ain't nothing funny about this. Number one, no real man has no business putting his hands on his wife other than to pray for her. Y'all gonna catch that on your way going home. Now listen at this, because again, he is the authoritative figure, and women, you need to be careful about making father look less than who God has said he is in the children's life. It's your role to teach your children to respect their father, because I don't care what he does, who he is, he's their father. And according to the word, they are held responsible, and according to the word, to do and to give him respect and respond to him the way they should respond according to the word. So mothers have the ability and also the responsibility to teach the children the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord, and it's an important responsibility. That's why, again, a mother's role is so awesome in the program of God as it relates to the family. So listen again. It says, forsake not the law of thy mother. Didn't say forget not the law of thy mother. It said forsake not. So 3 points I want you to look at. The first thing is the record. It's recorded here. And if it's a matter of record, then God is holding us responsible. Amen. You can't get around this. You can't slide under, over, and above it. You have got to deal with it. It's a matter of God's divine record. If it's a part of God's divine record, then the reality is it is our responsibility to know it and to live it. Amen. So listen at this. Again, the word says, and forsake not the law of thy mother or the teachings of thy mother. Now, here is an important point, because I want you to really understand this point and understand it well. Mothers, I don't care if they're educated or uneducated. Amen. I don't care if they're career women or homemakers. I don't care what their status is in life. When they become mothers, and especially Christian mothers, God gives to them a divine wisdom. Amen. And God gives to them a heart to teach their young, to share with, to lead, to guide, to build up, to train. All of this falls in the lap of the mother. Now, why does it fall in the lap of the mother? Because traditionally and historically, the father was the provider. So if he was the provider, that means most of the day he was gone from the house. But when he came back to the house, what should have been brought up and taught and learned and experienced in the house was those things, again, that were according to the word of God and the vision that God had given him as head of that household and family, and the wife was carrying all of that out. So here, again, he laid the law down, but she took the law, broke it down, and made it interpretable so that, and understandable so that, and comprehensible so that the children could take that law and begin to live it. But yet, in the midst of that,
that she was able to infuse and influence in such a way because of the nature of her ministry of teaching. Now, how many of you know fathers, again, are normally in the proper role were the disciplinarians. The mothers were the teachers or the guidance counselors. And many times it was no matter how much a mother beat a child, her role was really not for beating, it was for teaching. And some folk don't understand that. That's why the children act like they act. And the mother be like, I don't understand, Pastor. I beat that child from the time he get up to the time he go to bed. He just won't listen. You see, you've got to understand some things. Her role is not so much as the disciplinarian as it is the teacher or the guidance counselor. And when she, because let me tell you, women, if you ever come into the understanding of how powerful your words are, your words can hurt a whole lot more than any belt, any broomstick. Because if you learn how to use the mouth and the instructions right, you can make that child so fed up with wanting to hear you come again with a certain thing that you've already said, they'd be like, whip me. Just whip me. I mean, you know, if you just go reiterating the truth that you've already shared. Because, again, you've got to understand the role and the responsibility. And when you function in that role, then God has the responsibility of causing those things to go according with what your role and responsibility is. And so when you understand that, and that's why, again, when the mother would say, I'm going to tell your father, they'd be like, oh, no, don't tell daddy, mama, don't tell daddy. Now, she may have beat him, but it's something about daddy. Because daddy can say, boy, and the bass in his voice connects with something underneath the skin. It's just something about when daddy say, hush up. Shut up. Mama can tell him 10 times, didn't I tell you be quiet? Didn't I go, hush up? Shh, shh, all that. Quiet time. All that. Of course, I need to tell you that quiet time don't always work on us. But there is a reason for that, and again, it's for disciplinary purposes, and it's also a divine reality of what God has placed underneath the skin. Now, this is one of these pastoral messages today to help, again, understand, give some understanding, especially to new parents and upcoming parents, and so to understand the scheme of God's divine plan. Now, we have the record, but I also want to give you the reason. Because the record without the reason makes all of this fruitless. Now, notice what the word says again. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What will be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about thy neck? Instructions. And the teachings, instructions of father, the teachings of mother. Mothers, again, have the last word, so to speak, in guiding, in influencing, in making the difference in where and how that child thinks. What a mother puts into that child's mind ultimately becomes the focal point of that child's desires. It has been said that he who rocks the cradle rules the world. And I've got news for you. Mother does more rocking of cradles than anybody else. Mother's there when knees are skinned, and mothers are there when nose are running, and mothers are there when feelings are hurt, and mother is there for the special things that happen most times in lives. And yet it is mother most times whose teachings are forsook. Most times it is mothers, the one who gives so much, and yet many times it is her words that go undone. Now, when you think back on your own life, if you just take a little time out, and if your mother has played the role that God has given her to play, I think you will be able to say that most of your training, most of your uprearing, most of those things you've learned them from mama. Yeah. Daddy made an impact, but mama made an influence. Yeah. And you're going to realize that if the mother is messed up, the children, 9 out of 10 times, until they reach that age and stage where they can determine and differentiate between what is right and wrong, will be messed up just like her. That's why you can understand again how important it was, even in Eastern countries, for folk who bred children, as they were cattle and all the rest, who married and fixed marriages and so forth, because there was some reward to that. There was some good to that, because you've got to be careful. You've got to understand that if you come from good seed and good stock, if you come from folk who know, love the Lord, and live according to the word, you don't want that mixed with those who are not. I mean, you know, parents who instill godly principles and give instruction and direction don't want their children hanging out with lawless children. I mean, it's important for you to understand, why is it the responsibility of mother to give these kinds of warnings and these kinds of preparations and these kinds of guidances? Because again, these are the children that she spent more than father the time with, cultivating and nurturing them and giving them instruction and helping them to understand what is right, what is wrong, why do you go this way, why don't you go this way, what is the right way to carry yourself, what, because she knows about life and how you are perceived and received in life. And a lot of those things don't make sense to you growing up, but all you got to do is live long enough and you're going to find out. If you obey the teachings of mother, you will excel and succeed. But if you forsake them, God will show you, and it is scripturally based, that you will end up in destruction. And if not in destruction, certainly in despair. Why is that so important to understand? Because it is the divine structure of God. Now, I've told you about the record, and I've told you the reason here, and I want to move just a little further, because inclusive of the reason is also the reward. Now, there is a reward for obeying mama. There is a reward for keeping those teachings. How many times have you liked to have gotten in trouble, but the teachings of mama came back to your remembrance? How many of you can honestly say that the reason you got into trouble is because you didn't obey something mama had already taught you? How many times have you found yourself being reminded over and over, and the Holy Ghost will do that? He will bring those teachings back up to you. Now listen to what the word says. It didn't say don't forget the law of thy mother, because it would be all right in one sense if we didn't do certain things because we forgot. But most of the time, it's not because we forget the teachings, it's because we choose not to obey the teachings. Y'all quiet on this, but I'm gonna preach this truth anyhow. The reason why most of you are in the condition that you're in, be it good or bad, is because if you look back over your life, you forsook the teachings of your mother. Yeah. Mama don't know what she's talking about. Yeah. They don't do that kind of stuff no more. I got to tell you that the truth of the matter is, things remain the same. It's just cloaked and covered in new packaging. In other words, the same thing that mama is talking about, it's just got a new package on it. It ain't no new stuff. Mama can tell you some of the same stuff. Maybe the lines have changed, but the motives are still the same. Mama can tell you, baby, he don't love you if. Mama can tell you, baby, she ain't right for you if. And you be like, mama, but you don't know her. No, I may not know her, but I can tell you if she does this, or if it's like this, or if this is, I can tell you where that comes from. And when you talking about, oh, no, you don't know, mama, you don't, it ain't like that. All right, go ahead. And I got news for you. She don't have to be out in the street to know what's in the streets. And she don't have to know those folk and where they come from to see how they act when they come to the house. You can tell what a child has learned by the way that they respond in other situations. Ain't nobody got to know your mama to know what your mama has done for you and in you and with you and to you and through you. It's all a part of the inbreeding. And folk can tell what mama has invested in you by the way that you carry yourself. Now here's the good news again, because the reward for the reason for the record God has is this, that they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. What is an ornament of grace unto thy head? And the writer uses this. It's the wreath in the Roman or Greco world. You would note that even in the Olympics and so forth, when the winner was the victor, they put a wreath around his head. Right. And everybody who saw that person wearing that wreath around the head knew that he or she was a victor or a winner in some situation. Right. Now notice here, because he's talking about if you will hear the instructions of father and obey the teachings of mother, he says, in essence, you're going to be a winner in life. Now, I got to tell you now, in order to be a winner, you've got to do it the way God said, which means you got to play by the rules. And if you do not play by the rules, you're going to find out that even if you are successful, that success won't last long. All you have to do is turn to Psalm 73 and you'll read that. All you got to do is turn back to Psalm 37. You're going to find that out. You can be successful. You see, it's one thing to be rich. It's another thing to be filthy rich. Y'all gonna catch that on your way home. And see, folk that get it the way mama say are rich. The ones who get it their own way and opposite and who have forsaken the way of mother are filthy rich. And I don't ever want to be filthy rich, because that kind of richness don't last. Because when you're rich the way God has intended you, the Bible say he won't add no sorrow. And you ain't got to be looking over your shoulder trying to see who trying to take it, because you know you can't hold on to it because you got it the wrong way. And you can't enjoy it the right way when it didn't come the right way. Listen at this, because I want you to see this, because all of this is talking about the rewards of obeying mama and daddy. The emphasis here is being on the teaching and being on the implementation of the teaching of mother. And notice here again it says, and chains about thy neck. Now actually, the first connotation for this word chains is in the positive and in the influential realm, because when it talks about chains here now, it's talking about the chains that were worn by kings and by noble people. Those chains worn around their necks symbolized greatness and nobleness. And so when folks saw them, when they walked around with the big chains around their necks, many times with emblems and logos, etc., on those, they were esteemed in the marketplace, and folk would look at them and say, my, he must be somebody. Now, here's what they say now, because notice there is a wreath for the head, and then there are chains around the neck. Now notice here, because it's important. It's not only the responsibility of the parents to give you and to equip you with lessons for life so that you can be victorious, but then it's your responsibility to be a good student and learn them and practice them, and the result is going to be that you're going to be a winner. But now listen at this. Though you are taught privately, you are rewarded publicly. Though mom and daddy instilled and gave to you the essence of what it took to be a winner on the inside, you put into practice and in operation those things in the world and in the realm where those things would be noticed and would be judged, and then you become a victor. And it is noticeable, listen at this, without you ever having to say one word. See, when you're a winner, you ain't got to go around telling folk, I'm a winner. You ain't got to go around. Matter of fact, winners have an air or spirit of what the world deems as presence. When you have presence, it speaks and stands up so tall that it gets attention without you having to open up your mouth. You know, some folk who want to be big and ain't big, they go in the room and they got to talk loud to be seen. It nothing bothers me more than when loud mouth folk try to get folk attention and try to act like they're big because they want folk to notice. If you're a winner, folk gonna notice you. If you sit in the back of the church or the front of the church, if you're in the middle of the line, you're gonna be noticed because of who you are and all that stands up on the inside of you. And so mothers impart a very crucial element to success to the hearts and the lives and the minds. Mothers at young ages train, teach, inspire, and focus and point doctors and lawyers and teachers and bankers and everything else, educate all every professional and notable and wonderful mothers have an influence on everything good that is good in our world today. And whenever you come to that realization, you will begin. Even now, mama could be dead and gone, but there are some teachings that will live as long as you are alive. And if you adhere to them even today, I promise you, God will not only hear the prayers of a mother prayed already, but he will reward you when you obey them and bring you good success. May the Lord bless your heart today as it relates to the teaching and the remembrance of the teaching of your mother and the influence on your life. Give the Lord a hand of praise for mother. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are today, my brother, my sister, you're here today by divine providence. God wanted you to hear this word today, and he had it already prepared for you. Now, sometime when we sit here, we wish others were here. We wish that someone else could have heard this word because there were some things that you would have desired them to hear, but God wanted you to hear it. God wanted you here at this hour for you to make a decision either to continue in the right way or to change from the wrong way. God wanted you to be encouraged. God wanted you to be appreciative for the gift of mother. And so no matter, again, where mother is, whether she's in the presence of the Lord or someplace here on earth, your appreciation should be to God for the mother he's given to you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
As a family, we take responsibility for our parents, our children, and our community. As Americans, we vote to secure a future where each generation can strive. And though we are not perfect people, we are still proud of our country. Voting shows that we care and are taking control of our future. If each one of us text just 20 friends or family members in our phones to go and vote, the changes we can make with our voting power can be unstoppable. Election Day is this Saturday, April 30th. Exercise your right to vote, and remember to have proper identification when visiting your local polling site. This message was approved by Brenda Sampson, candidate for mayor, City of Bunkie.
Brenda Sampson, mayoral candidate for the City of Bunkie, is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT, KQJO, FM.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Alexandria and New Beulah Baptist Church of Boyce, Louisiana. Now let's go into a service already in progress.